This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we will have a musical performance by the Collingsworth family, an inspiring message from John Bradshaw, and a delicious recipe from Live It in the Kitchen.
Plus, Neil Schofield is back with another artistic look at a Bible story. This time it's on the conversion of Saul. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to another brand new hope-filled episode of Wake Up With Hope.
We are officially right in the middle of summer, friends. How has your summer been so far? What is in bloom so far where you live? We have some beautiful flowers in our yard and we have our garden producing. I'm loving the tomatoes. We're just enjoying summer and relishing every moment of it. Have you taken advantage of time off or taken any family vacations? We love to hear from you. Feel free to send us a picture. We would love to see that on our official Wake Up With Hope Facebook page.
We hope you will be blessed by our program today. We're going to have an uplifting music, a delicious recipe, an inspiring devotional, and much more to draw you close to Jesus in the abundant life that He longs to, for each one of us to have. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, on August 16, 1896, gold was discovered in the Yukon region, leading to the famous Klondike Gold Rush. This event attracted a wave of people seeking wealth and prosperity, highlighting the allure and transience of material possessions.
The story of the Yukon Gold Rush reminds us to evaluate our desires and align them with God's values. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, Jesus teaches us about storing up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. He warns us against attracting and attaching our hearts to temporary possessions that can be destroyed or stolen. Instead, we should focus on storing up treasures in heaven, such acts of love, generosity, and building up relationships.
That's right. And you know, this passage encourages us to shift our perspective and prioritize eternal values. It reminds us that true riches lie in a deep relationship with God and in investing in the well-being of others. While we may pursue earthly blessings, we should do so with the understanding that they are fleeting.
Amen. May we allow the story of the Klondike Gold Rush to be a reminder to focus on treasures that are everlasting and to align our pursuits with God's kingdom, seeking His guidance and wisdom in our quest for wealth and fulfillment.
Amen. This morning, our friends from Loma Linda are back in the kitchen. Their very own Chef Corey brings us a nut and seed granola recipe.
Traditionally, the base of granola is a grain, like rolled oats. We are making a grain-free granola, which can still be eaten hot or cold, or as a healthy on-the-go snack. We chopped the larger nuts into smaller pieces so it's easier to eat and will stick together better. Maple syrup can be substituted for the honey for a warm, comforting flavor. The spices we use here bring a nice bakery flavor, but can be interchanged with other spices like nutmeg, allspice, cardamom, anise. Be as creative as you like. Toss all the ingredients well and spread out on a cookie sheet. All the ingredients we started with were raw because they will toast when baked. Remember, only add the dried fruit after baking, as they have a tendency to burn in the oven. This is Chef Corey. Happy snacking!
Imagine riding high on your horse as you're about to kill a few more Christians. You're thrown onto the ground and blinded by the light. Let's watch now as Neil Schofield helps us see how a horse is a feature of an inspired painting about how Paul was made lower than the animals and what we can take from it.
Here's a painting by Caravaggio with the title The Conversion of St. Paul. I love it. It was finished in 1601 and it now hangs in the church Santa Maria del Popolo in Rome. This painting depicts the day Saul traveled to Damascus to kill a few more Christians. As he approached the city, he saw this amazing light.
Hear my heart, yeah. my love has gone away. And tell me true, my heart is new. My love has gone away.
Here we see Saul thrown off his horse and blinded. His sword is detached, and so is his helmet. He's on his back, symbolizing his world had just been turned upside down. Caravaggio's key point is the humiliation of Saul. Instead of riding high on his horse, he's thrown onto the ground. He's laying in the dust and lower than the animals. The focus of the painting is not even Saul, it's the horse. The groom is more interested in the nervous, shaken-up horse than Saul. As he gently leads the horse away, he's not even looking at the downtrodden Saul. As Saul is on his back and in the dirt, Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you hurting me?" The light was bright, but he experienced Jesus right there in front of him. His life changed. Saul shifted from being a proud, self-loving murderer to a humble, loving Christian. He cried out, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" No matter what it took, no matter what the cost, Saul would do anything Jesus wanted him to do. There are two key messages I get from this painting. Firstly, no one is too difficult to save. And secondly, seeing and understanding the love of Christ is the key to a new life. Today, if you're riding on your high horse, maybe it's time to step down, be humble, and ask Jesus the same question Paul did. Lord, what do you want me to do?
If you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
Coming up right after this break, we will have music from the Collingsworth family, and later, John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be sharing an inspiring devotional thought.
In the beginning, God, and from Him, everything. From beginning to end. When the earth was without form, dark and void, there He was, hovering upon the waters. When silence enclosed the atmosphere, He voiced, "Let there be light." And by the power of His word, there was light. And the sun, the moon, and the countless stars adorning the heavens and naming time as day and night. When chaos puzzled the horizon, He was planning, shaping, and sculpting everything from particles to planets. Oh, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Yet you love us extravagantly. And all your creation is abundant, exuberant, purposeful, beautiful, meaningful. Your resources are infinite, your wisdom unfathomable. But by creating everything, you made love accessible to everyone. How can we not bow down in awe? Why should we be dismayed? In the beginning, God, and from Him, everything, now and forever. When nothingness existed, He already was and chose to breathe His life into our existence.
This morning we have music from the Collingsworth family reminding us of the power of love as they sang "Living in Love with Jesus."
I'm afraid of spiders and a little scared of the dark, and the fear of failure always follows me around and haunts me like a ghost. I'm afraid of drowning, that this world will swallow me up, and I'm scared of changing, and that I will never be enough to win their love. And it's all too heavy for me. Oh, why do I still carry this? Can you tell me again and again and again,
time will bury me alive. Afraid to go outside.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for reminding us that we can live in love with Jesus.
If you're enjoying today's program, friends, just like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup.
We now have to take a short break, but when we return, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written will share an eye-opening message from the Bible with us.
Welcome back to our program. How are you enjoying it this morning? We would love to hear from you. Send us a message on Facebook and let us know.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share an inspiring message.
It is great to see you today. I hope you are well and blessed and encouraged in the Lord and confident that God has great blessings for you today. I'll never forget a friend of mine telling me about a piece of land he sold in California 25 plus years ago. He had it on the market, a couple of acres of land, for a certain price, and it just wouldn't sell no matter what he and the realtor did. So we said to the realtor, what do we do? The realtor said, we've got to cut the price. He said to the realtor, no, let's not do that. Let's increase the price. So he increased the price of that land significantly. The realtor said, you are a crazy man. Well, you know what happened? It didn't sell. The realtor said, I told you. What do you want to do now? He said, increase the price again. So they did. What happened this time? Nothing. Same as before. The land did not sell. The realtor said, you're a kind of a funny individual, and I don't think I need to be representing you on this deal. This is embarrassing. And the realtor said, go find another realtor, which my friend did. And when he listed it with the second realtor, he increased the price again. You think the man's out of his mind. No, wait a minute. The man understood something. When they listed it again at that highly elevated price, boom, it sold in moments. Fascinating. There were a lot of people at that time who had money sloshing around in their lives, and evidently they weren't looking for something that cost this much. They were looking for something that cost this much. It was a question of perceived value. And when people said, ooh, at that price, it must be really special, bam, the piece of land sold just like that. It reminds me of a story I read recently from Italy. A couple of hours from Rome is the village of Civita di Bagnoregio. It's a beautiful, historic place. It used to attract 40,000 visitors a year. And then the mayor had an idea. He said, what would happen if we imposed an entry fee? And so they did. €1.50. That's not much. He imposed the entry fee, and the tourism numbers went up. All the locals liked that so much. They increased the entry fee to €5, and now there's 1 million people a year visit this beautiful place, 15,000 a day on the busiest days in the tourist season. Perceived value. If it's just there, it's there. But if you want to charge me to get in, ooh, it must be something really special. Now, maybe we ought to charge people to come to church. You think that would boost the numbers? Well, I don't think that would boost the numbers at all. It would be highly immoral. There's a question of perceived value, isn't there? So many people don't come to church who could. I'm not talking about the infirmed or the aged, just the lazy or the lukewarm or the can't really be bothered. And no, we shouldn't impose an entry fee. I wouldn't suggest that, seriously. But do you think it's time for people to stop and understand the value of what God is offering? We're getting up close to 8 billion people on the planet. That's a lot of billions. It's a lot of people. How many people know the story of the cross? The truth is, not that many. And among those that do, how many are taking it seriously? You and I both know that people should be beating down the door of the church. Let me in. Why? Because eternal life is in there. Oh, wait a minute. Did that fellow just say that people are saved in the church? I'm not talking about that. Let me put it another way. Even though the Bible is the best-selling book in the world year after year, how many people are really reading it and reading it seriously and then taking to heart what they read? You see, people should be rushing to bookstores to buy a Bible and then telling people they don't have time for lunch today because they need to read more of their Bible because this is the Word of God and it gives life. I've never been to Civita di Bagnoregio, but I bet it's beautiful. I've seen the pictures. I'm confident it's exquisite. But it doesn't offer me everlasting life. Faith in Jesus offers everlasting life. And I wonder if we're actually perceiving the value of that. Let me ask you what you're pursuing in this world. You may be pursuing a degree right now. That's good. Nothing wrong with a degree unless God says there's something wrong with what you're doing. Humanly speaking, that's good. But what's that really going to get you? Oh, some satisfaction, some accomplishment. It may get you a better job. It may get you an increased salary. But will it get you everlasting life? Understand, I'm not saying we shouldn't pursue the degree. That's good. But we're pursuing a degree which takes an immense amount of effort and in most cases an enormous amount of money. And it's only a very short and relatively small temporal benefit that we get. You understand what I'm saying? God offers eternal life. We ought to be pursuing that like nobody's business, making sure we're spending time with Jesus, absolutely assuring that we're reading the Bible, 100% dedicated to being in church for our own good and for good of the others there and for the good of the community that that church would serve. What has happened that church attendance has plummeted and the number of Christians has evidently plummeted and the number of nuns, the people who profess no Christian faith, has skyrocketed and the number of people practicing pagan religions has skyrocketed? What's going on? Why is it that we're not able to look at Jesus and say, that's special, that's valuable? Why are we not able to look at the word of the one who spoke and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast, and not say, that's powerful? I'll tell you why. There are several reasons. I'll give you a couple. One is because society is leaning in another direction now. The Bible is sort of old hat, and we are enlightened, and we believe in our science, and oh, the existence of God. But what I'm suggesting now is that the alternatives aren't worth anything. A life without God is a life in this world, and that's that. You may be pursuing a course in your life that is diametrically opposed to God's will for your life. It might be a moral thing. It might be a chemical thing. It might just be a career thing. And you might be fully cognizant that that's not God's will, but you say, that's where the fame is, or that's where the fortune is, or that's where the... I interviewed a couple of people for an It Is Written program just yesterday. He was very successful in business, very successful. And she had, I won't give too many of the details away, but she was extraordinarily financially well off, extraordinarily. And they decided to give it all up and become full-time, self-supporting missionaries who would live by faith. You say, well, they started with money. Yeah, but they burned through it. And they lost a lot because of this reason and that. And then they got to nothing. They could go back to the business world right now and be immediately successful, but they choose not to because of the value of the life of faith that they find in Jesus. Phenomenal story. Now, it doesn't mean everybody should turn their backs on wealth. I don't think that's true. Wealth is okay if that's what God leads you to, and if you use it rather than it use you, nothing wrong with wealth. But for them, it was crushing them. It had sucked the life out of them, and they were living empty plastic lives. You see, they discovered that there was value in a life of faith in Jesus, and so they turned away from that old affluent lifestyle and embraced the cross and a life of serving others. Some people have no trouble in seeing the value of something. Paintings being sold for hundreds of millions of dollars. Someone says, that's valuable. I want to encourage you to look at the cross today and say, Jesus is valuable. To pick up a Bible today and say, this is valuable. To consider eternity and say, eternal life with the God of heaven, that is true value. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day. Have a great day today.
Thank you, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what we have going on.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow, friends. We have a special feature on the Berlin Wall, a recipe from the Good Food Kitchen, and music from Neville Peter. Plus, Faith for Today will share a devotion with us. We can't wait to see you then. If you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study and receive your free Bible study guides designed to help you begin or refresh your relationship with Jesus.
I want to make sure you didn't miss that. Again, that's hope.study. You will be blessed and very encouraged. Now, before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. It's found in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10.
It says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you.
Amen. It's a faithful promise, friends. The Lord's love for us is unfailing, and He has compassion on us.
Amen. We hope you have a winsome Wednesday.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we want to stand on the firm foundation. And that's you and your word. Thank you so much for the hope that we have in the word of God. And today, Lord, we don't want to be shaken. We don't want to be on shaky ground. We want to believe and have our faith on the sure word of God and the faithful promises you have given us. May we be reminded of everything that we heard today, right when we need to be reminded. And we thank you so much, Lord. We put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.